south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. One thing you'll notice when you've got boots on the ground down here in Latin America, especially when you're off the Gringo Tourist Trail, there are just tons of street performers, especially in the big cities. I take that back. Most exclusively in the larger cities. In the smaller towns, you have people out on the street corners, but usually they just got the cup or the handout, or they're trying to sell you something. It's good that the vast majority are selling something and not begging. Now, isn't it funny? When you're off the Gringo Tourist Trail, there are a lot more people selling, and when you're on the tourist trail, there are a lot more begging. For example, the most common items they sell are called dulces, which literally translates to sweets or hard candies. And the second most popular item would be chicles or gum. Here in Latin America, there are dozens of varieties of chicles, gum, and dulces, sweets. So street vendors are selling what we used to call up in the States as kids, penny candies, though a penny buys nothing up there anymore. But it still does here in Latin America. Just ask a local dentist, he'll tell you. Now, you've heard me say this before, but I don't give beggars money for nothing. And you know, on certain busy street corners, you might see a poor mother walking around with a couple of babies hanging on, holding out her hand or a cup and asking for dough. And you know what? I don't give her any. You might, but I don't. What a jerk that Johnny guy is, huh? However, if she's got two babies hanging on and she's selling something, that's a different story. I don't care if it's a newspaper, a bag of fruit, some nuts, whatever. I'll give him a half a buck or a buck. And a lot of times, I don't even take what she's selling. Now, about those little guys that run up and try to clean your windshield. You've got them in the States, I'm sure. Well, down here, oftentimes they're a little bit too aggressive. In other words, they start cleaning your windshield before you give them the go-ahead. When that happens, I don't give them any money either. I have to be able to give them the nod first. Sure, 90% of the time, you don't need anybody to wash your windshield. You've got your wipers with clean water in your fluid reservoir. Whereas these little guys and gals are using dirty squeegees and gray water. But they're doing something. They're not just standing there like slugs begging. So sometimes I'll just hand them some change and move on. And as far as handicapped people and people with below room temperature IQs like George Bush, if they're selling something, I'll buy it. But if they're just sticking their hand out, why is it always the withered hand, you know? It's exhibit your symptom time, that's why. But what really irks me is when a guy's got, let's say, a withered leg, and he rolls his pant leg all the way up to his crotch so he can milk some sympathy, meaning dough. Meanwhile, most other Latins with such defects aren't just standing around begging. And they've got real jobs working at tienda, Taco Bell, selling something on the street. Even Burger King and McDonald's, they're good about hiring people like that. Hey, I wouldn't eat that stuff myself, but I applaud their hiring practices. Which is why I don't give free money to people out there exhibiting their symptoms. Though, like I mentioned in the past show, some of these guys are pretty clever, like the guy with a laminated pharmacy prescription on a chain hanging from his neck. Now, that guy had a thing going. He was cleaning up. Whether it was real, a scam, or a con, who knows. But he did get an A for creativity and effort. Wish I'd have thought of that. And then there's that class of vagabonds on the streets you might call street performers. Now, the stuff these kind of guys get away doing here in Latin America, you could never pull off up in the state. Too many rules, regs, ordinances, and permits. And they enforce them up by you, too. You know, just on a typical day on any big street corner here in Latin America, you'll see acrobats and sword swallowers, guys that blow fire from their tonsils, all kinds of clowns and magicians. In fact, I once saw a guy with a live python around his neck juggling fiery tennis balls. Now, that was weird. And all of a sudden, the next day, he was gone. But today, man, today I saw something I'd never seen before in my life. Now, once in a while, you see a real talented young sprite, or I should say, really coordinated young sprite, juggling machetes. Yep, that's something that really grabs everyone's attention. And if you're at his spot at a busy intersection and happen to pull up real close, do check out the guy's hands and arms and you'll see it's not a skill you'll learn overnight. A lot of blood, sweat, and scars till you get good at it. And believe me, some of these guys are so good they could be in the Cirque du Soleil. Except for the fact they had the bad luck or bad karma of being born poor in the wrong country. Anyway, just this morning I'm driving through some bad city traffic. Not a bad section of town, we keep away from those, remember? Just a bad section of traffic. And I noticed that somewhat familiar sight of machetes flying through the air. Some guys out in the middle of the intersection flinging machetes. And man, they're going up really high. I'm thinking, now that's something I've never seen before. Usually those guys keep their machetes pretty close and tight so they don't get out of control, I imagine. You know, bystanders and cars and all that. But man, these were flying high. Then, as I finally was able to work my way up to the intersection, I saw why they were flying so high. They must have been going up 20 feet in the air. Turns out the little guy flinging those things was on a very tall, extended unicycle, juggling 3, even 4 machetes at a time. Talk about Cirque du Soleil material. Man, if I was a Ringling Brothers or Cirque du Soleil scout, I'd have signed him in a second. Yep, I'd be his manager and get 15% of him for life. And I'd take out a huge insurance policy because you know what? Those aren't rubber swords he's using. This isn't Hollywood. No tricks allowed, only the real thing here. So finally, the traffic moved and I was right up to the intersection. Then he jumped off his unicycle, made the rounds through the cars, passing the hat. And believe me, everyone he approached chipped in. And that was a first in itself. Most times with a regular street performer, you get just a few takers. Now, you have to know that in big Latin cities, where the traffic really gets jammed up at stoplights and such, they've always got 1, 2, or even 3 transit cops in uniform directing traffic, even though they're useless and don't need to be there at all. They usually cause more problems and chaos than they solve. Pretty much all drivers have the same opinion of these guys. In fact, when you look at the op-ed pieces in the local newspapers, people are always writing in and complaining about these guys, even sending incriminating photos of these guys on cell phones with their thumbs up their butts while on the job, stuffing their faces with tacos and tortillas at the local tienda. Did he say tacos and tortillas? Well, that's because they can't afford donuts. Anyway, as I mentioned before, if you tried that kind of street performing up in the States, well, first off, you just couldn't do it. You think for 1 minute there aren't 100 ordinances against juggling knives or machetes or balls of fire? Even if they caught you juggling plastic water pistols, they'd haul you in and give you a big fine. Because even where street performing is allowed, you have to have permits. I know that's true because back in Chicago, even 30 years ago or so, you used to see this street performer guy, he did a robot act, remember way back when that Dance the Robot was in? Guess I'm showing my age. Anyway, told me he had to buy not 1, but 2 street permits even way back then. 1 general permit from the municipality and 1 permit for the corner or area he was going to work. Which is another lesson you learn when you're here in Latin America. Down here, there's a certain sense of freedom, liberty, and openness that only existed back in the States, I'd say, prior to 1980. Now, get this. My brother up in Chicago, he tells me street performers have to have those permits now, and they also have to have a liability insurance policy. They need that before they can even get the permits. I'm sure that's for hospital coverage in case a clown stabs a bystander in the eye with a plastic McDonald's fork, huh? Whoa. So anyway, when the sword-juggling unicyclist came over to the car, I gave him, I think, around $1, and he was overjoyed. Now remember, the average worker in a maquila factory down here only makes about 10 to maybe 15 bucks a day. So this guy was cleaning up, making that every hour. So once again, practice, talent, and hard work pays off. That is, until he slices his nose off or pokes his own eye out. That's always a possibility. And if he pokes your eye out, remember, there's nobody to sue. This is Latin America, you know. It's buyer beware, so don't get too close. Oh, let me tell you a bit about his arms and his hands. They were just loaded with gouges and scars. And you know, his skin color is what they call moreno down here. To us, a person with a very dark tan. That's pretty much the median skin color. Even though you've got the whole spectrum from very white to very black. Most people are right in the middle, that very dark tan look called moreno if it's a guy and morena if it's a female. And the indigenous Latin populations are almost all moreno or morena as well. Which reminds me of a story my cleaning lady once told me. She said, most of the indigenous people are of the opinion that the gringos, the light-skinned gringos, have the most beautiful skin color of all. You know, that's the gringo advantage working again. Then she said, and I'll never forget this, she said, some gringos are too white, and especially the ones that have red hair and freckles, the Irlandesas, she said, the Irish. Who knows how she knew that about the Irish? She must have seen a movie or something. In fact, she said, the Irish are so white, they look kind of sick. Infermo, which means unhealthy. Then she said, you know, you light-skinned gringos have the best skin, but the second best skin is morena, which was her color and the color of the average indigenous person. She said, us indigenous people are all born with beautiful moreno skin, but very few of us make it to adulthood without some skin damage. I said, what? And she said, well, look at this. And she showed me the back of her shoulder, where she must have been burned or something as a child, and it was quite discolored, very light compared to the unaffected skin. She said, our skin is beautiful but delicate. If we get a scratch or a cut or a burn, it never heals without a scar, and it always ends up being lighter than the skin around it. And that goes, she said, for puntos or puntitos, which are stitches. She said, if you're a good hard worker, as you get older, your skin will tell the story. She said, you know, it's all right for guys. They look manly with a few scars. But for girls, well, for girls it's different. After all, she said, part of the bride selection process for the guy is the beauty of her skin. Then she made the sign of the cross and looked up to the heavens and said, poor Marta. That's her sister. She's an old maid now because apparently she has bad skin. Hey, you know, that's one of the benefits of being able to speak a little Spanish. You're a cleaning lady and you can bond, and then she'll tell you weird things like that. And unfortunately, you know, I'd say at least 90% of the gringos and expats here in Latin America never learn enough Spanish to be able to shoot the breeze with the cleaning lady or the maintenance guy. And man, do the cleaning ladies like to gossip. They call gossip down here chismes. Chismes. Let me tell you, they have tight-knit little neighborhoods, and they don't wander outside of those much except to work and such. Now, since they're so isolated in their little communities, and almost no one has a car, all the maids, cleaning ladies, gardeners, and maintenance guys know the neighborhood dirt. Everyone knows who the liars and the thieves are, and the smart ones, and the dumb ones, and the womanizers, and the drunkards, who you can trust, who you can't, who's got the golden touch in the kitchen, who's getting remisa checks from the states, and how much. Your cleaning lady knows all that stuff about everyone in her neighborhood. But that's not all. She'll have stories and some of the dirt on your upscale neighborhood too. Because, you know, some of her friends and neighbors from her little pueblo are maids, gardeners, and workers in your subdivision and don't think they don't talk. So having her help live in a nearby little pueblo could be both a good and a not so good thing. The good thing is you'll get to know and meet the family. Built up confidence and friendships and all that. But you have to know that you and your family and whatever traumas and peculiarities pass while she's working there, they'll likely be subjects for discussion at the dinner table in their little house. Now, nobody wants their laundry, dirty or otherwise, to be a topic of discussion in their neighborhood or anyone else's. However, upscale Latins are disconnected enough from their help that they really don't care. There's a definite line drawn in a class distinction between boss and employee, so upscale Latins don't much care what the help thinks or what they might be gossiping about. Oh, they would if it happened amongst their friends, but when you're talking about the help, they don't care. That said, your life is even more interesting than the average upscale Latin's life because you're that odd gringo that moved down to Latin America when everyone else they know would like to do just the opposite and sneak into the States. So what am I getting at? What does it all mean? Well, there seems to be a little controversy going on between gringos and expats as to when you hire your help. Should they be from the local area, within walking distance, or should they be from an area that's a half an hour to an hour's chicken bus ride away? Well, you know, I've been down here long enough to have hired people both ways. And I can tell you, it's nice to have a maintenance guy or a cleaning lady from your local vicinity. But I'll tell you, that means if they're not a good employee or you have to fire them, well, you can bet you're going to see them, their husbands, their kids, and their relatives at the local tiendas, and you can't help but think there's a little rancor or animosity going down. Because the rumors will certainly fly. Why'd they get fired? Or did they quit? Not likely. I mean, let's face it. If you fire someone, it's generally a huge embarrassment, probably for both of you. However, if that person lives a great distance away, you'll probably never run into him again. On the other hand, if you hire someone from the local area, you can usually find out ahead of time through the grapevine if that person's a good employee or has ever been fired or had any trouble. So if you're hiring from the local talent pool, you'll be able to gather a lot more preliminary information about a prospective employee than on a person who lives far away. And remember, you can always gather a lot more information if you speak a little Spanish. And you have to remember, when you're hiring and you put the word out, the people that show up for the interview are, one, either in between jobs, two, they've been fired from their last job or quit, three, they're working now but don't like their boss or the job or the pay and they're looking to move up, or number four, they've never had a job before and you'd be the first boss they ever had. Now, like I said in a past show, if you ask for references, it seems almost everyone can produce them. And they all seem to be nice and glowing reviews, too, because most Latins, including Latin bosses, are non-confrontational, and they're willing to write a good reference, not only for good workers, but for bad workers, too, just to get rid of them, yet to stay on halfway decent terms. Does that sound familiar? Oh, and here's another thing if you're hiring from the local talent pool. It seems like there's a bad apple or two in every family, whether it's up in the States or down here in Latin America. And unfortunately, let's say you've got a cleaning lady who's told everyone how nice your house is and what you've got, how many big screen TVs, just gossiping to her other cleaning lady friends who are always comparing notes about their bosses and what their bosses have and don't have. Well, you know, Latin families are pretty tight, and on Sunday, they almost always have a big dinner together. And that's true of the wealthy in the upper classes all the way down to the poorest of the poor, the cleaning ladies, the indigenous, and people living in shacks. And that, my friend, is where lots of gossip will fly. And it just might be about you and your wife and your house and your kids and what you have and what you don't have. And chances are, the bad boy in the family will be sitting around listening to all that too. And that's not a good thing if the guy lives right down the street. However, if he's a couple of chicken bus rides away, no big deal. So that's why you'll hear a lot of expat gringos say, it's best to hire someone from nearby. Make some friends, help out the locals, give them some work. Then you'll talk to other gringos. Often gringos and expats who've been down a while, they'll say, don't hire a local person. It's not a good idea. You don't want the whole neighborhood to know your business. However, if you do hire someone that's got to ride a few chicken buses to get to your place, then be prepared if they ask for a few bucks more a week because they have to pay their bus passage, whereas the locals are close enough to walk. Also, be prepared for the excuses when they're 10, 20, 30 minutes, even an hour late because, well, bus broke down, bus was late, traffic accident, big rainfall, whatever. But that won't happen if you hire local help. So that's one of the ongoing conversations you'll have with other gringos when talking about hiring help. So what do? Well, I've done it both ways. And lately, I've been leaning towards the idea of hiring people who live a little farther out. And here's a little tip. It's really in your best interest to keep that division between boss and worker somewhat intact. Because, you know, a lot of gringos and expats have found out if they become too friendly with their help, you know, buddy-buddy, sometimes your workers will take advantage of you. It kind of reminds me of that failed parenting philosophy that started in the 90s. You know, the one where you drop the authority figure bit and become friends with your kids? I know some people who tried that. I'm sure you do too. The end result, not good. So then, what do I suggest? Well, by all means, be friends with your cleaning lady and maintenance guy, etc. But always keep in mind that you are the boss, and you're paying them to be there at your convenience, not theirs. I've noticed a lot of gringos and gringas, especially gringas, forget that. Why? Because up in the States, they could never afford a full-time maid or cleaning lady or gardeners or maintenance guy. In fact, one young gringa told me she feels sort of guilty that she has a full-time live-in maid and pays her so little. Compared to first world wages, of course. She knows she lives in a little tin shack she feels sorry for her and kind of lets the cleaning lady run the show. She's the boss lady, but she won't scold her if she's late or does a sloppy job or doesn't show up. She doesn't want to rock the boat because she's overjoyed she actually has a full-time cleaning lady. So often, the gringa lady of the house who employs a maid will start off on the wrong foot, thinking it's the cleaning lady who's doing her a favor by working for her. Hey, I know it sounds weird, doesn't make sense, but come on down here, get boots on the ground, and vote with your feet, and you'll see what I mean. Oh, how about this one? A newly arrived gringa and gringo came down. They voted with their feet. They're living down here in Central America now. They're renting a house, and like I said before, almost all middle and upper middle class houses have a servant's quarters, that's what they call it, cuarto de servicio, with a separate entrance for the maid or a cleaning lady. And she's saying, look, I'm going to get a live-in cleaning lady, but she's never had one before, and it's kind of new at it. And she said, Johnny, is she just going to stay in her room all night, do you think, and watch TV? The poor thing's got no family, no friends, in a strange house. That doesn't seem right. The question is, after dinner, when everybody's just sitting around in the family room doing their own thing, reading or watching TV, whatever. And Johnny, if we're watching TV, it's going to be in English, and she won't know any English. So what do you think? What should I do? Is she going to be sitting on the couch next to us in the living room, or is she going to go back to her room and watch her TV? She says both options seem kind of weird. She's not family, so I don't think I want her hanging around with us all the time, not at night anyway, and she certainly won't speak English. But put yourself in her shoes. She's away from her town and her family, and every night she's stuck in her little room watching her TV. So that was this gringa's dilemma, and she asked me what I thought. And I said, well, why don't you, at first anyway, hire a full-time maid but not a live-in, you know, just 9 to 5. And then I said, by the way, how's your Spanish? If you don't know any Spanish at all, you'll have to figure out some ways to communicate. And it's true, little by little, you'll work it out. We all do. But eventually, all gringos and expats should be thinking about boning up on their Spanish. Which brings us to this email. It comes from a new old friend and Expat Insider Seminar veteran, Jack Brett. Some of you out there might know him as the guy who wrote that book called Fast Spanish, which is a guide for gringos looking for the best, most efficient, and least expensive ways to learn their Spanish. Now, since I mentioned Jack Brett is an Expat Insider Seminar alumni, for those of you thinking about joining me for my July 2017 Expat Insider Seminar, just go to www.thenewexpat.com, click on the seminar link, and you'll find out all about it, including the way to kill two birds with one stone, that is, get your Guatemalan residency started at the same time you're down for the seminar. And you'll also see the information about those famous John Galt pre- and post-seminar trips. Now, if you're going to take one of the John Galt trips, you'll have to add 4 days in front of or after the seminar. So keep that in mind when you're making your flight plans. And that's all happening a few months from now, July 2017. Now, if you just can't get boots on the ground just yet, do the next best thing. Take my Expat Essentials course. Just go to expatplanb.com. You know, no matter what stage you are in your Plan B, you will need some guidance, so do check out my course. All right, now let's have Jack Brett's email. He says, hey, Johnny, just listened to your recent show on engineers and laborers in Latin America. Why are you hating on civil engineers, bro? We ain't so dumb. For instance, I knew all about pulling concrete with a screed for foundation slabs before I went back to school. I know one thing, it ruins your clothes, that's for sure. Oh, and don't you know, your average redneck concrete crew up here in the States knows how to have fun while sweating his ass off in the sun just as good as any foreigners do. The secret is they dip Copenhagen snuff all day. Sure, concrete crews from the old days in the States have changed. Now, they're almost all Mexicans and Latins. But I suspect they, too, dip a little Copenhagen now and then. By the way, Jack, up in Chicago, they just call it chew. As in, you chew, bro? Now, Jack, years ago, I knew a couple of guys back in Chicago who did it. It does nastify your teeth and blows your chances for finding a girl next door type unless she rides a Harley. By the way, down here in Latin America, I've never seen a single person chew. In fact, I've never even seen it for sale, except in upscale first-world-style malls. You know, it seems every upscale mall has a little kiosk that caters to high-end tobacco users. They stock electronic cigarettes, Cuban cigars, pipe tobacco, and tins of chew, like Copenhagen. By the way, come to think of it, I've never yet met or even seen a Latin American smoke a regular pipe. I mean, with real store-bought pipe tobacco from a pouch or a can. So again, those kind of specialty kiosks only seem to show up where gringos hang, and particularly where wealthy Latins shop, you know, the gringo wannabe thing. But let's get back to Jack's email. He says, anyway, Johnny, I'm going to put out a revised second edition of Fast Spanish for Expats and Wannabes in a couple months. And I thought I'd tell you about it in case you want to let your listeners know. Now, Johnny, not long after I wrote the original, I quit studying Spanish for over a year to work on a project that came up in the States. And I found out that working for other people kind of sucks, especially when you're an engineer and you're working for people who aren't engineers and they want you to do stuff that can get you personally sued. By statute, Engineers here in Florida, where I am now, are personally liable for anything they sign and seal, a fact which is always in the back of your mind in a target-rich-for-lawsuits subfield like mine is. But I digress. Anyway, after parting ways with my recent employer here in the States, I went back to studying Spanish a few months ago, and I found out that without constant practice, your Spanish pretty much evaporates. At least 50% of mine did. The good news is I found out you can get it all back pretty quickly and go beyond that, especially using Skype and a few other techniques that I've recently worked out. And you know, Johnny, it's still unlikely that anybody is ever going to mistake me for a native speaker, but I learned enough, more by trial and error, about the easy way to do Spanish that I figured it was time to update my Fast Spanish book. So the new edition is going to cover more than just learning Spanish, though. I've got some new info for mildly obsessive compulsive types like me, who are saddled with a conflicting urge for adventure that drives them to do crazy stuff like expatriate to foreign lands, and just how you go about managing that mental process. There'll also be some stuff on how to manage the transition to becoming an expat from the stateside and for people who are less than affluent. Also, there will be more info for people who are interested in relocating to the Chela, Guatemala area long-term or temporarily to study in one of the many cheap and excellent schools there. Like before, the book will be free for your Expat Files listeners. To simplify things, anybody who wants the expanded and revised second edition can get a copy by just sending you an email. I'll let you forward the addresses to me. I guess I should add that people's email addresses are safe with me. I'm not going to give them out to anyone else. At worst, if I can figure out something people might want to buy related to learning Spanish or expatriating, I might try and sell it to them someday, though in truth, I don't know what that might be right now. Anybody who's not okay with that should just say so in their email, but they might be missing out on something good later. All the best, Jack Brett, author of Fast Spanish. All right, Jack, thanks for that. It's a mighty generous offer. A free second edition, huh? All right, all you listeners heard that, right? So I'll keep you posted when that comes out. By the way, Jack, when I dissed civil engineers in a past show not so long ago, I forgot, you're a civil engineer, right? Well, you know what expat Eddie always says. Nice guys, generous guys, and honest guys don't necessarily finish last, but they usually aren't the life of the party.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.